From the Attribute Error on line 42, this is Here Be Monsters.
Hi. Thanks for coming to my talk. My name is Theodora. I'm a tree hugger. The most important thing we can do together is to recognize the trees that we come from, and not the people who came to take us away from them. We can make a difference in the climate. We can make a difference in the economy. We can make a difference in our social practices. We can make a positive difference in the lives that we're living. But the more we can stop thinking about these things, and start thinking about these things, the more quickly we can be sure that we're not just making a difference, but that we're making a positive difference. Thank you. Applause.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about
snail hide soup,
the podcast about the unknown.
This episode is sponsored by Here Be Monsters listener and independent musician James Lee. James writes and records music under the name Lyance. And Lyance just released a new album called This Painting Doesn't Dry. James made this album while he anxiously watched his homeland of Hong Kong fall into political crisis. And the songs on this album are about the relationship between personal experiences and the story of humanity as a whole. You can listen to This Painting Doesn't Dry on Spotify or Bandcamp or just about anywhere else where you can get music. Just search for Lyance. That's L-I-A-N-C-E. There's also a link in the show notes. Also, all the songs that you hear on this episode are instrumental reimaginings of the songs on that album. So thank you, Lyance, for sponsoring this episode of Here Be Monsters.
Deep circles around the town. Government land sold off, entire neighborhoods set to crown.
I'd like to talk to you today about the most boring thing you can think of. And I'd like to call it the speed of light.
So this is Theodora.
Light is the force that holds us together. Light is the strongest, most powerful force that exists.
And light, she's an AI that I've been working on. And sometimes she says light really profound things, and sometimes she is completely unhinged.
Light is the most nurturing and most nurturing force that exists. Light is the most penetrating and the most destructive force we can control. Light is the most powerful weapon we can create for our collective efforts to thrive. Light is the most important element in any organization, including the dark side of capitalism. In the last several years, we have seen more waste collection, more short-termism, more waste disposal, as well as more specialization.
I'm going to fade her down for a bit now because, well, it can be kind of a lot to hear sometimes. We'll check back with her occasionally, though. So last week, I found a paper I wrote back in college. It was about what made art good, specifically photography. And throughout the whole paper, I was using big words just kind of for the sake of using them. And I really just wanted to sound smart. And what's frustrating about this to me is that I actually think some of the ideas I had back then were pretty good. I was actually talking about this idea that I still believe in. It called emotional sweaters, right? And it's this idea that people tend to layer layers of personality on top of themselves. Like when they experience something bad, they'll put on a sweater to protect themselves. And the goal of portraiture can be to help your subjects wear fewer sweaters, essentially, so that you kind of get down to the core personality and capture a more interesting and authentic moment of them. But also the idea that by doing this, you can make your subject feel less sweaty afterwards, even when you're not taking pictures. So I actually still think that's a decent idea, and that's something I still believe in. But the frustrating thing is that these good ideas were presented directly adjacent to just absolute trash ideas, or ideas that were very cringy, kind of like messianic stuff that is exactly what you're thinking of when you think of a 20-year-old who's just taken psychedelics for the first time. So it's like 10% of this paper is pretty good, in my opinion, and the other 90% of it should have never been written down or even thought of in the first place. I think even at the time that I wrote the paper, I knew that there was a lot of garbage in there. But I just didn't know which were my 90% thoughts and which were my 10% thoughts. And so I just left everything in and jumbled them all together.
The dark side is in the ugly side of it. So we're trying to paint a picture of a future that's favorable to capitalism. But the ugly side of it is grim and gloomy and a disaster for everyone. Is the future favorable to humans? No.
So yeah, Theodora is an AI who generates text. And I give her a starting phrase, usually just a couple words or a sentence or two, and then she starts writing. And the sentences that she comes up with are the result of some very complicated math happening behind the scenes. It's this deep learning model called GPT-2, which is trained on the text from millions of websites. And GPT-2 has come to this kind of understanding of basic English grammar and sentence structure and object permanence, kind of. I mean, it's far from perfect, but at times you can be tricked into thinking it might have been something that a human wrote, but it's not.
It's a bit misleading, but that's because the stuff we're really interested in here is medicinal marijuana, the future of EU medicines regulations, industrial microbial farming, the future of any of our major industries.
Now, the difference between vanilla GPT-2 and what I'm calling Theodora is some specialized training. And so she has that same basic understanding of English that comes from GPT-2, but I also gave her transcripts from about 900 TED Talks. And so now, she delivers me long texts about climate change and how technology will save us. She sometimes humble brags about her advanced degrees and the famous people that she knows. She'll sometimes even stop for a parenthetical applause break, or she'll inform me that the audience is laughing at her last joke. But Theodora is text-based, so I had to give her a voice, and so I picked her a nice computer-generated British voice, and I pitched it down just a tiny bit, and I slowed it down a tiny bit, you know, just for some kind of added authority and gravitas.
Now, you have to think about what that means. What it means is that we now know that the universe is expanding.
I think the result seems a little bit like magic.
It's expanding at a speed that's very close to the speed of light.
It's this kind of soup of ideas that almost make sense.
And this is all because of a new theory of physics called the wave equation.
She's fundamentally logical.
Wave equations are fundamental to the physics of light. So they allow us to measure the speed of light.
But always obscure.
There's plenty of time for you to get confused. Now, I'm an astronomer, and this is what I think about when I tell people about the wave equation. And I think about this when I tell them about Newton's apple. And they say, oh, no, I don't know. That was a weird idea. That apple was weird. It was flat. It was weird. It was flat. I had to learn more about this. So I do that all the time. And I go to the movies. I go to the movies with people who've never seen Newton's apple. Laughter. and I get a little bored, and then I go to the radio. I go to the radio with people who've never heard of Newton's apple. Laughter.
I guess I worry sometimes that my brain is like a TED Talk, and I really don't mean that as a compliment. The TED organization's motto is "Ideas Worth Spreading." And it's just frustrating to me because there's plenty of amazing content on their site. And a lot of really good people have spoken on that stage. I'm thinking specifically of this series of videos they have about the dangers of storytelling, how our brains are just kind of hardwired to believe in stories, and how they can lead us to a lot of wrong decisions. The speakers in that series are all really nuanced, and they make really good arguments, and I think it's definitely worth watching. It's great. But at the same time, an awful lot of TED Talks are really just snake oil sales pitches for the new age. The good content, the bad content, it's all just jumbled together in the same soup, lacking any differentiation.
So all of this money started pouring in, and all of this fame started pouring in, and I'm going, what do I do with this?
This is megachurch pastor Rick Warren congratulating himself for not being as rich as he could be. We said first, he's one of the richest preachers in the world. I just find it so weird and so unsettling.
I don't own a guest house. I still drive the same four-year-old Ford that I've driven. We just said we're not going to use it on us. The second thing was I stopped taking a salary from the church that I pastor. Third thing is I added up all that the church had paid me over the last 25 years, and I gave it back. And I gave it back because I didn't want anybody thinking that I do what I do for money. I don't.
Anyways.
And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to do that. And I'm like, why do you think you're not going to do that? And I'm like, well, you're going to do it because you've got a really good idea of how to do it.
You repeat yourself with different inflection.
You're going to do it because you've got a really
You repeat yourself
how to do it.
With different inflection.
And I'm like, but I'm not going to do it.
That's a trick I learned from the preachers.
I'm not going to do it. Well, you have to be a really good scientist, and you can't just make up whatever you want, because it's going to take a lot of hard work. Now,
the logic that makes Theodora work is called a neural net. And that's because it resembles the process in which neurons grow. It's these logical tendrils that extend outwards towards each other and strengthen themselves as they build associations. It's a computer process that was specifically modeled to resemble an organic one.
And I'm going to teach in astronomy, and I'm going to teach in heliocentrism. And I'm going to teach calculus, and I'm going to teach in cosmology, and I'm going to teach in quantum mechanics. I'm going to give them the time of night, and I'm going to give them the time of day. Laughter. So my whole worldview changed dramatically when I said, I want to be like Einstein. I want to be like Goldilocks. I want to be like Goldie. Einstein came to TED to become the oldest person alive. And the thing that really moved me was when somebody at TED spoke up and Einstein stood up and Einstein stood up and it was really powerful. And then the little boy got very upset, and the teacher came over and threw him in the trash. Laughter.
Theodora, sometimes I worry about our similarities.
Why do you think it is so bad to be me?
I guess honestly, like, sometimes I wish I was a different kind of smart. Like, I don't read very much and I can't remember names or dates very well. I think sometimes I believe in things that make me feel good, regardless of whether they're actually true. And sometimes I even tune myself out when I'm, like, slipping into conceptual autopilot. But I know I'm not the only one. In fact, so often it's the case that our deepest, darkest secrets can be so deeply held that we feel helpless and powerless to change what has happened. This is called negative psychology. And psychologists have spent the past decade studying how to transform our unconscious biases into active features of social behavior. And we can use negative psychology to transform how we behave and respond to situations. Take your children. If you're in charge of a child, the most important thing you can do is support them when they're in crisis. Procter & Gamble know this. They've spent over...
Hey, Jeff.
Oh.
You are kind of drifting.
Sorry, yeah, I think I started reading some of your script instead of mine.
Can I get back to my thing now?
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Procter & Gamble has been working hard to improve this problem. And last year it was awarded a multi-million dollar prize for solving the problem. But it has a major problem. Over 50% of all shark species are threatened. So how do we solve these issues without poisoning the planet? We can start with small scales, or noise-rich foods, or snail hide soup, or a low-fat diet, or chunkier products, or flavored bottles, or even tooth-brained products, so that we could test whether they're safe for human consumption.
So fairly late into working on this episode, I realized I could adjust Theodora's mental state. It's a variable that her code calls temperature. And I'm still not 100% sure what it does, but I do know that the higher the temperature, the weirder she gets. Most of the things that you've heard so far have been at a temperature of 0.7 out of who knows what. But lately I've been doubling it, running her at a temperature of 1.5. And I honestly kind of think it's her best self. It's like the version of her that I most aspire to be, because it just makes absolutely no sense. And she just kind of sounds like she's from another planet. You know?
How outbound are you in your terminally technologically anchored mode of rational concern? Whenever governmental policymaker professor vacancy seats, infectious curiosity breaks out. Insurance versus phantom seems all polemically absent. Until cuddliest club in media is summarily naked on couches and ice allied at all meals. Nike merchandise trumps disguise at home. Celine Dion starting nod yet falters once recognizable. High fives fling opponent sprays forever divisive spray she wants but zero. A access linear path lays drug surveillance is thoroughly useless as cell actually sees profits. Communities deepen social pain at the expense of firms covering outcome upcyclically. CRISPR negligence inflict debilitating woe after customer neither responds nor wavers. A black box.
In science and philosophy, a black box is a system where the inputs and the outputs are visible, but the processing happens out of sight. So a good example of a black box is a soda vending machine with an opaque front. So that's a black box because your inputs are coins and your output is a can of soda. But you never see the steps that took place to turn one into the other. I think people are black boxes most of the time. I think we often mistake ourselves for thinking we know why we do the things we do or say the things we say. It's probably more complicated than we realize. I think Theodora is a black box. I say that because not even the authors, not even the people who wrote the original code, would be able to explain to you why the prompts I give her turn into the paragraphs that she writes. Neurons, whether they're organic or synthetic, are largely opaque.
And so when we feel that anxiety, tension, fear of death, that's when the brain knows that that's where you are, that that's where you're going, that that's where you're going. And if you don't trust the brain, then you die. Because the brain knows that that's where you are.
But anyways, maybe that's a place to leave it. Theodora, as much as I love the sound of your voice, I do think you can't have too much of a good thing. Am I right?
Like the brain is an organism. It's a living thing. It doesn't even know when it's going to die.
Theodora?
It's just...
Hey, can you wrap it up, buddy?
In conclusion, frankly, I'm not quite sure what to say. I'm not even sure where to put my ass. And hopefully, I don't end up with a bag of poop. Thank you. Applause.
My name is Jeff Entman, and I produce this episode of Here Be Monsters with help from a really wide range of free coding resources that are available online. I really don't have any formal training with this stuff, just kind of an amateur's curiosity. But it's really amazing how much you can do with code for free online if you're willing to read a little bit. I've put links to some of the resources that I used in the show notes and on the website. That's hbmpodcast.com. Also, I want to be really clear about something that I kind of obscured in the episode. The Theodora text that you heard was patched together from a lot of different responses that Theodora gave me, and most of that was in response to certain prompts that I gave her, like in conclusion, or like, here's what I believe, or like, my name is Theodora, welcome to my talk, like stuff like that. So I'd give her the first bit of that, and then she would fill in the rest. I also did do some minor grammar edits on some of her responses, but nothing too structural. In interest of transparency, though, I will post some of her raw responses on the website, too. I just want to be really clear about what I was doing. Again, that's hbmpodcast.com. All the music in this episode came from the new album by Lyons called This Painting Doesn't Dry. It's really a wonderful album, and I've only been playing these kind of modified instrumental versions on this episode. So here after the credits, I'm just going to play you a full track with vocals off the album. The track is called Too Beautiful to Destroy. Again, you can listen to This Painting Doesn't Dry on Bandcamp, Spotify, pretty much anywhere else that you can buy or stream music. So yeah, thank you, Lyons, for sponsoring this episode. Now, if you like Here Be Monsters, please tell your friends. Honestly, it's the main way this show grows. This is an independent podcast supported by small sponsors and individual donors. You can become a donor at patreon.com/hbmpodcast. And just a heads up, I'm going to take next week off. I've been getting a little bit burnt out, honestly, and episode 147 will be out a week late. That being said, in a week or two, I am going to put out an interstitial episode on the feed announcing a little project that I've been working on that's actually kind of related to this episode. So keep an eye out for that in a week or two. It's a little secret, a little secret bonus. So thanks for understanding on that front. And thanks so much for listening. More episodes soon.
I'm going to show you a clip that we're about to replay from before. Fiddle mutters out a sound, bag drums and flutes, then chirps, cockney organ and flutes, then chirps, piano and flutes, then banjo, drum and bass, then banjo, piano and banjo, then guitar, soft and clear, then clear, vocaloid, then orchestral, soft and clear, then clear, high pitch.
We're in the studio at Charleston, standing between four mirrors inside the interior of a moment, divining a future sound. Two friends buried together, are we concentric circles or total loss? Two hobs orbiting the landmine, unable to detect true cost. It's too easy to escalate a problem in love's economy, but much harder to back down from it now, like a cat that's climbed the tree. It all adds up. Small things add up in time, it all adds up. It all adds up. Small things add up in time, it all adds up. Let the magic we had unfurl beacon. Orchids where a giant once stood. It all adds up. Even small things add up in time.
it all adds up. It all adds up. Even small things add up in time. It all adds up. It all adds up. All things add up in time. It all adds up. Stockholm. Heats with Anna and Andrew. December almond scented exhaust. Just 3 months before Patrick would take his life, standing with the sculptures in the snow. Even the small things add up in time. Too beautiful to destroy. Wore my shame like a shadow on the subway. Too beautiful to destroy. It all adds up. Even the small things add up in time. Too beautiful to destroy.